This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, May 15, 2024. In our headlines, a car stolen from a Linfield home. We have good and not so good budget news to share today. And the same whale washes ashore on the North Shore. Today, our forecast calls for cloudy, a chance of showers today, highs near 70. And we have a high tide this afternoon at 6:30. The news is powered today by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire, supporting local news coverage and supporting the North Shore. I'm Bill Newell. Rick Moore is off today. A brand new Mercedes was stolen from a resident outside her Linfield home. The Daily Item is reporting that the car then crashed in Saugus near the YMCA. The owner of the car reported that the GPS device in the car was able to track the location of the vehicle and where the thieves were driving. Two juveniles were later taken into custody. The dead whale that washed ashore in Marblehead 3 weeks ago washed up on shore in Swampscott yesterday. Paul Layton reports in today's Salem News that the whale landed on Phillips Beach in Swampscott, only about 300 yards from Preston Beach in Marblehead, where it previously had landed. The whale is a female humpback whale. Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith was recently in front of the City Council discussing his department's budget. Smith was asked about the revenue that the fire department brings into the city from their EMS services.
Yeah, so all of the EMS revenue goes into the general fund. We account for typically, our estimates are that go through the budget process and are approved by the mayor and recommended by the CFO are about $1.5 million a year. On the income side, and that, adjusts up and down. We've had to reduce it on rare occasion, but typically we meet and exceed that target for a revenue stream. And it's pretty consistent, and we tend to not have any issues on it. But that funding, as stated, goes into the general fund. The fire department's operating budget for staff and salaries, everything from Band-Aids to pads for our AEDs and monitors and all the medications that, we stock that aren't billed to a patient yet. All of those things are covered under the budget that we have with the fire department. So the volume, the run volume and the income that it may generate, that we kind of expect that it will generate, and it's generated consistently, and we have pretty solid data and why we project that revenue is not something that is absolutely necessary, but it is necessary to the degree that the city is counting on that income to the tune of $1.5 million a year.
Smith was also asked, what is the breakdown between the number of runs for EMS services and firefighting calls?
By and large, that's industry-wide throughout the fire service and what we do. If you're providing fire and EMS, about 70, give or take, percent of your time and call volume is spent on EMS calls. Now, obviously, fire calls take much longer and many more people and resources than do an EMS call, but just the hard numbers of how many calls in volume itself, about right around 70%.
That is Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith speaking at the City Council meeting aired on 1623 Studios. In Gloucester, the closed House of Mitch Bar on Roger Street was demolished yesterday. Ethan Foreman reports in today's Gloucester Times that in its place will be the new home of Sugar Magnolia's restaurant and two apartments above that restaurant. The restaurant was once located on Main Street, and Yankee Magazine called it one of the best breakfast and lunch places in New England. State Senator Bruce Tarr delivered some good state budget news last night at Ipswich's town meeting.
Our April numbers indicate, and it is a bit of a roller coaster, that we are now on par to be $1 billion above benchmark, or about $900 million in the month of April in the positive. And so it's very difficult to give any reasonable explanation for this, except to say that we continue to monitor it carefully. And we do now think that we will end the current fiscal year, which ends at the end of June, in the black with a bit of an excess, but we're not sure how much that will be.
We will have more on what Senator Tarr told that meeting, as well as comments from State Rep. Kristen Kastner here on North Shore Today Extra right after sports. The Georgetown Public Schools will likely be looking to cut staff next year Dave Rogers reports in today's Daily News that voters this week rejected a $3 million property tax hike. Earlier in public meetings, it had been discussed that this result might result with 9 teaching positions to be eliminated, as well as other staff reductions in Georgetown. Yesterday, we ran a story about the teacher cuts that would be coming to Swampscott. School Superintendent Dr. Pamela Angelakis spoke to the budget process.
We start with zero. We look at our COLAs. We look at our operating costs that have increased. Then we build programs. We build needs. We build classes. We look at all of that. And then we get an allocation from the town. And the town, once they give us that allocation, we have to look at what the delta is. And then we have to ask your administrators to go back and analyze their programs and analyze their class sizes and analyze the needs of their students.
Angelakis adds that teacher or classroom cuts come last.
My mantra has always been stay as far away from the classroom as I can. You know, remove positions that don't directly impact students. Unfortunately, this year, we were forced to go in that arena.
School committee member Glenn Pastor told those concerned about the spending limits being placed on the Swampscott schools. His message was, get involved.
What you have to do if you're a Swampscott resident is to become involved in town meeting. If you don't, if you're a resident and you don't become involved in town meeting, your fault, not mine, not John's, not Suzanne's, not Amy's, not Karen's. We're 5 voices. We're on your team. The problem is we don't have the decision making.
The Swampscott town meeting will be held next week. Lynn School Superintendent Dr. Yvonne Alvarez is closing in on completing her first year on the job in the city. What are the one-year initiatives in the district that have been most important?
What are the structures and systems that we really needed to take a deeper look at to ensure that all students were succeeding and achieving? And I think that being proud of a number of things, from policy changes to a different delivery of professional development in terms of looking at pedagogy, which is how we teach versus what we are teaching. Okay. Our teachers are professionals and they know the material. It's the delivery of instruction that matters, because our students have changed dramatically in the last couple of years. In 2019, we were, according to our data, just a little over 30% Latino students. And currently, we're over 75%.
Alvarez was speaking with Danny Vittori of Lynn TV in a feature interview. Right away, when Alvarez began this school year, the district did receive some bad news from the state.
When we started the year, we had 14 schools that were identified in need of assistance. And recently, at the beginning of the month, we were notified that Lynn was underperforming in the state, in the bottom 10%. So that requires us to look at what are those changes that we need to make, being the priority, obviously, to ensure that we exit that category.
Lynn School Superintendent Dr. Yvonne Alvarez. The entire interview can be viewed on lynntv.org. Sports is next, followed by North Shore Today Extra, again featuring Senator Bruce Tarr and State Rep Kristen Kasner.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are 2 or 3 and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Bruins stayed alive in the playoffs by beating the Florida Panthers 2-1 last night. They return to the Garden tomorrow night for Game 6, still trailing that series 3-2. Big goal scored by Charlie McAvoy for the Bees.
I saw we had numbers, and I saw Peeker was coming for a change. So, you know, second period, sometimes you can, you can win the change battle and get a chance. And started yelling right away. And, you know, he great play by him to have, you know, patience with that puck and to find me. And, you know, I was pumped to see it go in.
As was Bruins Nation. The Red Sox beat the Rays last night 5-2 in 12 innings. Game 3 of the series is tonight at Fenway at 7:10. The Celtics were off last night with a 3-1 series lead. The Celtics can close out their series with the Cavaliers tonight at home. Tip-off tonight at 7. In high school baseball, Gloucester beat Danvers 13-3 yesterday. Peabody blanked Salem 8-0. Lefty Cam Connolly no-hit the Witches with 11 strikeouts. The Tanners are now 14-2 on the season. Marblehead blanked Beverly 5-0. Chris Canusio pitched well for Marblehead. The Magicians are now 11-5 on the season. In softball, Peabody topped Danvers 4-1, and Salem beat Rockport 8-5. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Wednesday. North Shore Today Extra is next.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra. Ipswich held their town meeting last night. Partway through the meeting was stopped, and State Senator Bruce Tarr and State Rep Kristen Kasner were able to address the town meeting and share some State House updates with the town meeting members.
Those strangers are Senator Bruce Tarr and Representative Kristen Kasner, who in typical fashion address the meeting. So I'll ask them to come forward and in whatever order they choose to address the meeting. And briefly. sorry, Senator Tarr, but...
Thank you, Mr. Moderator, I think. Having won the coin toss, I'll go first, and I would say that this is not the first time, nor will it be the last, that I'm called a stranger by you or anyone else. So I appreciate that introduction, and we appreciate the opportunity to address the members of town meeting. First, to express our gratitude to everyone for coming out tonight to make important decisions on behalf of the town. And we also appreciate the opportunity to tell you a little bit about what's going on Beacon Hill, as we are very much in the middle of our budgeting process, just as you are in the middle of your budgeting process here this evening. To put that into context, it's important to remember that we have been dealing with some very difficult situations with regard to revenue collection in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. For the current fiscal year, we had previously reduced our benchmark upon which the budget is based by $1 billion to reflect reduced revenue collections. And even with that, when we got into the March period of time, we were underperforming that $1 billion reduction. However, our April numbers indicate, and it is a bit of a roller coaster, that we are now on par to be $1 billion above benchmark, or about $900 million in the month of April in the positive. And so it's very difficult to give any reasonable explanation for this, except to say that we continue to monitor it carefully. And we do now think that we will end the current fiscal year, which ends at the end of June, in the black with a bit of an excess, but we're not sure how much that will be. So it's against that backdrop that we are now debating the state budget for the fiscal year 2025, which begins on July 1st. And our goal is to have a budget in place for that time. Although, if you look at history, we don't always make that mark reliably, but we oftentimes come pretty close. So as we're debating that budget, some of the priorities that we always try to uphold are the priorities of funding for local education and local school districts, and the funding for what is known as unrestricted general government aid, UGA, which is more commonly known as local aid. And the good news is that the House, when it debated the budget, and I'll let the representative speak to this, was able to make some improvements in both of those accounts. And the Senate Ways and Means proposal, which we will debate next week, makes some further improvement in those accounts. And just to give you just a taste of what that looks like, with regard to Chapter 70, our local educational funding by which we assist local districts, Ipswich right now stands to gain about $161,000 over the current fiscal year. Again, that reflects the priority that legislators have for local education. So even with uncertain economic times, we are trying to do our part to help support local education. With respect to unrestricted general government aid, which is the funding that we give to municipalities, which really comes with few restrictions, it can be used for municipal purposes generally. Currently, as of right now, Ipswich stands to gain about $57,000 over the current fiscal year. And so we hope to be able to maintain those numbers and in Senate budget debate next week, maybe even increase those numbers a little bit to support the kind of things that you are voting on here tonight and that we hold as priorities and we know that you hold as priorities as well. There will be 1,100 amendments considered in that budget debate next week. And of those 1,100, I have filed 108 to maintain my percentage of roughly 10% of all the amendments filed on your behalf. That does not necessarily endear myself to my colleagues, but it represents the fact that I'm trying to give you as strong a voice as possible in the budget debate and in the process. I do want to touch on two things before I relinquish the microphone. One is that our North Shore Water Resilience Task Force, which is doing unprecedented work to collaborate around water issues that depend in the communities that depend on the Ipswich River, continues to move forward. And it continues to move forward with every single public water supplier in the basin, every environmental organization, every stakeholder at the table working together to address two issues. Number one, the environmental health of the Ipswich River, which is by some accounts the eighth most endangered river in the United States of America. And number two, trying to make sure that we have reliable water supplies for the foreseeable future. And every community is participating in that, but I want to call due attention to Ipswich's representation on that task force, which is none other than our town moderator, Jim Engel, who is doing an outstanding job of helping us all to move forward together in a way that we have not been able to in the past. The second thing I just wanted to touch on briefly is the subject of Whittier, which has already been referenced. We know that we have to go in a different and better direction than the one that was offered in the past with regard to the school and to the regional agreement. And so not only are the governor, lieutenant governor, and the president of Northern Essex Community College, Lane Glenn, working on trying to come up with a plan, we are involved as legislators in those discussions as well. And we are committed to finding a path forward that is affordable, that is cost-effective, that makes sense, and continues to meet the need, the very real need for vocational education in our region, but doing it in a way that communities can collaborate with and buy into and live with and feel good about. And that is a very tall order, but we are working very hard to try to get to that point. More on that in future updates. But for right now, I just want to say thank you all again, and thank you for allowing us a few minutes to tell you about what's happening on Beacon Hill, and I will turn it over to my colleague, Representative Kastner.
Thank you for the update and for covering so many aspects of what's going on in the legislature. And also, it's very nice, actually, that you have your budget after the April numbers. In the House, we debated the budget in April, and in third week of April. And we did have historic investments in education, in transportation, in childcare, as well as mental health. And we're very proud of that. Also, I was very pleased to be able to get funding for all of my communities, which was fantastic, including Ipswich, and hopefully we can hold on to some of those and grow some of the funding aspects that we were looking for, including essential programs such as green crab trapping and marsh restoration that we've been working on. I'm Kristen Kasner. I just didn't start with that, but it's been a delight being your state representative for the last year and a half. I spent most of it very much meeting many of you, listening to you. Ipswich is such an engaged community, which is amazing. So thank you for all of your work and being here today and all of the civic service and community that you guys are all working on. What my role so far is just really understanding who you are, what you need, telling that story, and making sure I can help connect the dots to all of the different aspects of funding, programs, making sure that that Ipswich is eligible for a lot of the funding and programs that are out there to help meet our needs. And also just really trying to understand what you want to protect, what you need to provide, and where you want to grow. So thank you so much for having me here tonight. I'll be quick, and I'm very much looking forward to meeting those of you that I have not met yet. So thank you very much.
To continue our diversion for just another second, George Hall, who is town council, is retiring, I believe, as the end of June. He's been with us for many years. So, George, if you stand, and if the meeting could express their thanks to George for being a faithful.
That is coverage of the Ipswich town meeting from last night. Featured speakers there, Senator Bruce Tarr and State Rep Kristen Kasner. This is North Shore Today Extra. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, have a great Wednesday.